And we'll look at one verse here, and then we will be looking at a couple of other verses as well. I'd like to speak to you on this theme tonight. It's no stranger to me. It's no stranger to me. Last several Wednesday nights, we've been talking about what? Who remembers? The overall theme. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived, okay? And I think we had three Wednesday nights on that. And so tonight, it's kind of the opposite of that. So what if we are deceived? Or what if we fail? And that's really the theme of the message tonight is failure. That sounds really depressing, doesn't it? You've come to be encouraged, so we're going to talk about failing. But, you know, that's why I said it's no stranger to me. Because no one in this room can say you've never failed. So what do we do when we fail? You know, do we just kick dirt and rocks and keep our head down on the ground and run into walls? And that doesn't help. There's a biblical approach that we should have. This isn't called set up for failure. This is called, well, we know we're human. We know we're made of clay still. We haven't got rid of that old body yet, in the sense of it's got to daily, every day, what? Die. Some days we don't kill it enough, right? And so that old flesh comes up and rears its ugly head, and we say yes to the flesh and no to the spirit. And that's failure. Or that's a fail or a fall, okay? But here's the way I like to look at it. I've already maybe said the wrong wording, but I think we can fail but not be a failure. Big difference. Big difference. Everybody in this room has failed. But you don't have to be a failure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I do pray that your word would encourage us tonight. And possibly even we've come tonight, and in some areas of our life, we've already been majorly just, wow, okay, I failed, and I'm here tonight, and I failed. And Lord, I pray tonight we would recognize from your word some help that we can get from the Bible regarding this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this lesson we could say that it's the opposite of that, of when we are deceived or when we do fail, what are we going to do about that? I heard someone say to me many years ago, quitters never win and winners never quit. Okay? And there's a lot of truth to that. And so no one in here gets up in the morning or gets involved in maybe in business in some way or whatever. No one enters into anything and says, I'm going to fail. Or this is going to end. Well, maybe there have been some things that we started and we said, this is not going to end good. You know, I have said that before. But we don't purposely go into something looking ahead down the road and saying, I can see down the road that this is going to be very disappointing or I'm going to fail. No one does that. No one enters into a marriage and plans for that marriage to fall apart. You know, I've been to a lot of weddings, Brother Kim. I've been to a lot of weddings. I've performed several weddings over the last 19 years. I've witnessed a lot of weddings. I was in one. For sure. Just seeing if you're awake. I was in more than one, actually, a ring bearer here and there, and then I don't know when else. But you know what? All of the weddings that I attended, you know, and I'm not saying it's about me, but they were all very joyful, you know? I mean, it was bright, and it was exciting, and here comes the bride, and, you know, all of that. So on the wedding day, no one looks down the road, however many years, and sees what divorce brings. And really, there's nothing about divorce that is joyful. I'm not picking on you if you've been divorced. I'm just trying to give an illustration. That's not even thought of, I would hope, on the wedding day, is failure, right? Parents never entertain the thought of raising a child or rearing a child, pardon me, that would go into rebellion. I mean, you know, remember that day you held your son or daughter in your arms and they were small enough to fit in your arms? Some still have that size, you know? Who was I looking at? Yeah, I was looking at a child the other day and thinking, man, it's been a long time since. Oh, I know what it was. Today, we were at Costco getting some health food for the teenagers at the Bible club. It wasn't health food, sorry. It had a lot of sugar in it, you know. Come to our club. We have candy. No. And you know what they had in front of us? The lady in front of us had a diaper genie refill. Now, who knows what a diaper genie refill is? Okay, I see Costa has both hands up. And he would have put his feet up in the air if he wasn't at church. But, yeah, and I told Pastor Nathan, I said, diaper genie refills. Haven't seen those in a long time. And they're these plastic thingamajiggies that you put the diapers in, and it helps keep the smell in, and then all of the diapers are underneath and twisted. And anyway, whatever. But what I'm saying is, when we're around a newborn baby, nobody looks ahead 19 years, 25 years, and sees that son or daughter rebelling. But it happens. It happened in my family. Could happen. Still could happen. I'm talking about my family growing up. Nope, nobody has those thoughts. I mean, again, I've held so many babies over the years, and there's been none of those babies that I've held that I've said, you know what, this one's bound for, you know, I wouldn't do that anyway. But it's all exciting, right? You know, even when somebody passes away that knows the Lord, I mean, it's sorrowful. There's grief, but, I mean, there's joy. They're with the Lord. Someone who is an alcoholic or that is a drunkard, that is kind of, you know, a mess. I'm trying to be very kind about this, but the facts are that individual did not get to the place where, you know, they thought this is where I'm going to end up. No one enters grade 3 or 4, sorry. Man, you're getting old. No one enters grade 4, or no one enters grade 10, or no one enters grade 8 or 7 or whatever grade or university and says, this course, I'm getting an F in it. Now, there's been some courses where we've went into them thinking, this is going to be tough. But nobody sets out to fail. Notice our verse again tonight. Or did we even read it yet? We haven't read it yet. 24:16. That was all introduction. For a just man, what's the next word? Falleth. 24:16. A just man, what? Falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's look at that word falleth. Here, this word falleth is translated 318 other times in the Old Testament as fail. Fail. It is used to express failing, falling down, being cast forth, being cast down, falling away, being divided, being overthrown. I like this one, becoming rotten and lost. For a just man falleth, a just man fails. Now, a just man may fall, a just man may fail, but according to this verse, a just man can rise again. A just man can rise again. So, let me give you several thoughts tonight. We'll go into this as far as we can about if you're facing failure, okay? Failure may not be a part of your life right now. That doesn't mean everything's perfect. I'm just saying there's nothing major right now. But maybe there's something in your life right now that, you know what, this is something I need God's help with. Let's remember several things. Number one, failure is a stranger to no one. Sometimes we'll look at certain people, even in church, certain individuals maybe, and we'll say, man, if I could only be like them. They look like they've got it all together. I mean, they always have their tie straight. Every hair is combed in the right spot. Everything looks perfectly fine. It doesn't look like they have any problems at all. Failure is no stranger. It's a stranger to no one. We can all pretty much get everything how we want it to look when we're in front of everyone. The point is this: everyone experiences failure to some level, in some degree. And again, I'm not trying to be really negative about this, but let's just be upfront about it. But it usually happens many times. Many times. All throughout the Bible, we find men, we find women, we find believers who failed. I mean, I don't know if this is the one that comes up the most to you, but maybe you have someone in the Old Testament that kind of you think of, and you think of someone in the New Testament. Maybe you think of it like for instance, King David. I mean, that's kind of one that maybe we all kind of go to, and yet God, he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he failed. Yes, he sinned. Peter. To me, you know, Peter is an unbelievable example of someone who failed. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. Blankety blank, I don't know who he is. But then just a few weeks later, what was he doing? Acts 2. He was preaching an amazing message. He failed. That's not good. I'm not saying failure is good. I'm not saying to deny Christ is good. No one here is saying adultery is good, King David. Failure happens. Failure in and of itself, by the way, follow me. I know those things I just listed are sin, no question about it. But failure in and of itself is not necessarily a sin. The act that caused failure can be a sin. David failed in his duties as a king, and the act of adultery was a grievous sin. I don't think anyone here would argue that. Here's something. The thing we should attempt to do is take steps not to fail. You've all heard this. Prevention. This is preventative what? Maintenance. Right? Okay? So if you are a husband tonight, you need to be diligently doing some preventative maintenance in your marriage to avoid failure. If you're a wife, same thing, okay? Preventative. Prevention is always better than seeking a cure for the problems that our failure causes. Do we believe this is God's word? This is God's word, amen? If we believe this is God's word, I hope you do, then that means that everything that I need to live my life can be found in God's word. If I apply this book perfectly, I will never fail. But because I don't always apply this book perfectly, I fail. So, but it is not that I do not have the information that God has given me to have preventative maintenance, is what I'm saying. The preventative maintenance that we have is all here. Okay? It's like saying, I'm going to go out when it's pouring down rain without a coat on. Guess what? More than likely, unless you've been eating garlic for the last week, more than likely, you're going to get sick. I'm going to live the Christian life and never read the Bible. Guess what? You're going to fail. Mark it down. I can tell you right now, you're going to fail. And here's something to ask myself, is if I'm in the middle of something and I'm failing, how much of God's word, how often am I in God's word? That's usually an indicator that can tell me or you or whoever that why there's, it doesn't always necessarily come to that, but that's the biggest place to start is, what is my relationship with the Bible? Not just reading it, oh, I read it, but absorbing it, you know? Why have we let a certain group take meditation away from us? There's nothing wrong with meditation. But when we say meditation today, we begin to think about this Eastern religion and Eastern this and all that. Look, that's not meditation. Meditation, we know what meditation is. We've given the illustration here about how the cow has multiple stomachs, right? And how you can think about the word meditation and how it's translated. It's actually that cow who eats a piece of grass, chews it up and swallows it once, and it's starting to, you know, do its thing, and then the cow just brings it back up and chews on it a little bit longer. You know what? We get a verse in the morning, by about noon, we need to bring that verse up again. Man, that was a really good verse. And we chew on it a little bit, and it helps us because by noon, we're starting to have the mully grubs, you know, and this thing didn't work out at work, and this person didn't do what they were supposed to do, and this temptation came, and I, you know, and by the end of the day, we're tired physically and emotionally, but we've got that verse. We've got that verse. I think it would be better to have 365 solid verses on leap year 366 that we have every day of the year, to have one verse every day of the year that we're meditating on, than to speed read through the whole Bible and say, I read the whole Bible. Hey, read the whole Bible. I'm not discrediting that. But I'm saying, if we want to have some preventative maintenance, we got to get our coat on when it's raining. You got to put a hat on when it's raining, amen? Some of us need to wear a hat when it's raining, amen? So, failure is a stranger to no one. Thomas Edison was told by his teachers that he was too stupid to do anything. You ever heard of that guy, Thomas Edison? Kind of got light bulbs in here today, huh? He was not a failure when he was searching for a filament for the light bulb, and time after time, he failed. Every time he failed, he would toss the failure out the window. The story tells us that the pile outside the window reached to the second story of his laboratory. He then sent men to China, Japan, South America, Asia, Jamaica, Burma in search for fibers and materials to be tested. October 21st, 1879, 13 months of failures, he succeeded. And we have a light bulb that has changed how many times over the years. But go back to the one who is too stupid to do anything. That's kind of strong language, isn't it? I didn't write that. I read that and I wrote it. Again, we can fail and not sin. I think that's what we're talking about here. This is one of those examples where he was trying to do something. Doesn't mean he sinned because he couldn't do it. How about this one? And again, I'm not promoting everything about these people, but Walt Disney was told he lacked imagination and no good ideas. I'm talking about the original Walt Disney, okay? We won't even go into 2019. But the original Walt Disney, you have no imagination? Good night. If you don't know much about Walt Disney, read about the original Walt Disney. Wow. Albert Einstein was thought to be mentally handicapped. Wow, if he's mentally handicapped, what am I? Wow. Anyway, the point is this. Failures come to everyone. We must keep going even if we fail. Now, it doesn't mean that failures are easy to overcome. Okay? Because number two, sin can cause failure. Sin can cause failure. And again, this God said on my heart isn't so much to go on the sin side of it, and not de-emphasizing that. We've kind of talked about that. Be not deceived for the last 3 weeks. So maybe there's some sin in your life tonight. Okay? You say, here on a Wednesday night? Yeah, you know what? The first part of this is admit your failure and the sin. Admit the sin and the failure, and with God's help, put it behind you. You know, the admitting part is typically the part that we stumble over. The devil begins to cause us to think maybe it's not that bad. Or it's just small. Admit it. Satan, by the way, is the master reminder. You know what I mean by that? He's the master reminder. You're trying to move on. You're trying to, you know, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You're trying to put sin behind you, and Satan wants to remind you about that past failure all the time. Satan comes before God, and God says, God, what about those sins for Pastor Turner? What about those sins? What about those sins for Brother Knapp? What about them? And you know what? As Christians, all of our sins are what? They're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's kind of like that song, I don't know if it's in our hymn book or not, but what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. He chooses to forget our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord, we have been made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1:9, let's go there and let's look at it tonight for a few moments. 1 John 1:9. John 1 9. Does anybody have that one memorized? 1 John 1 9. Amen. All unrighteousness. So we have the end of the verse, all unrighteousness. In the beginning of the verse, we have the good old if, and then we have the word confess. Agree with God. Nothing new. Maybe you've heard, maybe you've never, maybe that's new to you, but that's basically what I mean. Agree with God. That's why I think it's important that we don't just say, God, forgive me of all my sins. If we know that we've been unkind, then we need to tell God, God, forgive me of being unkind to my wife or my husband or the coworker or whatever. God, forgive me of lust. God, forgive me of lying. God, forgive me of... Agree with God. Those things are bad. Those things are awful. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A what? Proud look is the first one. God, forgive me for being prideful. Man, I was prideful today. God, forgive me of that. I know it's one of those deadly sins. You hate it, and I need to work on that. But the good news is, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to encourage you tonight, whatever it is that might be in your life right now that is sin, there's no doubt it is sin, don't allow it to go past this night tonight. Give it to the Lord. Confess it. Forsake it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And move on, because there's no way I can carry sin and not fail. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There isn't any way I can carry sin and have a victorious Christian life that we heard about here on Sunday at 4 o'clock. There's no way. Number three, turn back to Proverbs, please. Proverbs 28. Number one, we said failure is a stranger to no one. Number two, we said sin will cause failure. Number three, change what caused the failure. Make a change. Look at Proverbs 28, please, verse 13. It's kind of going along with what we were just looking at, but a little different. He that covereth his sins, it's kind of what I was just saying, shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So we see two words here, one of the same from 1 John 1:9, is the word confess and the word forsake. So we look at the situation and we ask ourselves, what biblical principle was violated here? Disobedience to something clearly in the Word of God? Godly counsel sought, not received? Something I know from reading my Bible that God has put into my life. Again, walking, as I said, walking into something that we know I've been down this path before. I remember I stubbed my toe last time. Don't go down that path. This is something that is a besetting sin, maybe. This is something that is a great weakness. Change what caused it. Get everything out of your life that might be fueling that. You know, the access that we have to this web, the World Wide Web. I mean, it's a great piece of technology and it's wonderful. And like I said, email our missionaries and so forth, but it could be a big problem, can't it? And so let's monitor that. The wise Christian will
go back into his or her life to see, okay, where did I go wrong? I don't want to make the same mistake again that I made before. Number four. By the way, how do we know how to change it? That's where the book comes in. God's word changes us. How do we know how to change it? Ask a brother or sister. God's given you an under shepherd who has failed, and I will fail again. But I am the under shepherd that God has given. And so if you have something in your life and you say, I'm just, for some reason, I keep hitting my head at the same spot. Pastor Turner, can you help me? Do you see something here? We'll pray about it. We'll seek the Lord on it. The key is this, not to think that we're not going to fail again, but to try to minimize those, right? No one sets out to fail. And so God's given us his word. God's given us brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. And God's given us a pastor and assistant pastor and a group of believers that aren't perfect, that do fail, but that want to see all of us succeed. Number four, here's something. God can use our failures. God can use our failures. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. I like to look at God as the great opportunist. Look at how God used the failures of men and women in the Bible. I'll tell you what, when I read the Bible, one of the things that, and I am not piling on the failure side of it, but I'm just glad God put everything in the Bible. When he wanted us to read, not everything that ever happened is in the Bible, but everything God wanted us to read is in the Bible. And some people will say, well, look at all this bad stuff that's in the Bible. Yeah, look at all this bad stuff that's in the world. It's a record. It's a history. Right? It's a record that God has given, and he doesn't hide the sin that was taking place. He doesn't hide the failing that was taking place. And so when I read that, I think, wow, Peter really just spoke up way too fast. But you know what, Brother Kim? I have done that too. Maybe not denying Christ in that way, but probably in a different way denying Christ when I haven't spoke for Christ when I should have. Really, what's the difference? And I look at what happened there, and you follow that trail and how Peter went out and he wept. See, there's that, you know what? I want to change this. I don't want this to happen again. I failed, but I'm not a failure. I failed again, but I don't want to be a failure. Big difference. And God used him in a miraculous way. We look at our own lives and we see that we all fail from time to time, and yet God is greater than a failure. God is greater than my failures. God is greater than your failures. Now, he's not going to bless us as we, again, regard iniquity in our heart. And as it says here in Proverbs 28, covering sins. You know what? God's still able to use us for his glory in spite of us. Because why? It's not about us. It's about God. 24, Proverbs 24, number five. There's some things to think about failure. Number five, determine to stay in the will of God. Determine to stay in the will of God. Proverbs 24:16, our verse that we read earlier. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. A just man, according to this verse, a just man will fall. You see how it's an understood statement? A just man falleth. A just man fails. This is talking about a believer. But it says here he will get back up. He will fail, but he will not quit. Again, when I fail, what does the devil want? The devil wants me to stay down. When I fail, the devil wants me to just say, just forget it. That's it. The devil says, now you're a failure. You just failed. I mean, a fail is bad, but a fail doesn't mean a failure, and a fail doesn't mean that it's all over. No, we've all failed. But Jesus, thankfully, has never failed. And when I fail, the devil says, okay, you know what? I'm going to just bring up all this old stuff, and I'm going to keep piling on, and yet we have the opportunity to get back up. God helping us. Don't let a fail become a failure. No matter what happens, I need to be in church. No matter what happens, I need to be in the Word of God. In other words, be in the will of God. No matter what happens, okay, I'm out of the will of God in an area. I want to get back in the will of God. We will never be a failure as we follow this. For a just man falleth seven times and what? Riseth up again. Keep going, keep going, keep going. The person who keeps that attitude of, I can't, I never will, there is no hope, that person is going to have a tough time avoiding the ultimate failure. Satan wants us to get down and wants us to stay down and believe we can't have the victory. Turn to Joshua chapter 23, please. Joshua chapter 23. Our confidence is not in ourself at all. This is not a little engine that could. No, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. No, you can't, and neither can I. But he can. God is able. So wherever you're at tonight, wherever I'm at tonight, in the midst of a fail or just something that, man, God can help us. God can give us that confidence to move forward. The confidence, if it's in me, I guarantee you, it's going to be a failure. But if the confidence is in the Lord, it's going to be victory. Look at Joshua 23:14. My attitude, by the way, is a big part of this. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Maybe circle that or underline that. Not one thing hath failed. That's not just for Joshua and the children of Israel. That's for me. That's for you. Not one thing hath failed, which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And here it is again. And not one thing hath what? Failed thereof. Two times in this verse, not one thing did God fail. Not one promise did God break. We've all broken promises, but not our God. Not one thing that God said he would do, did he not do. He did all of it. And the same is for us tonight. Everything that God says he will do. Every principle, every promise in this book belongs to us. Why don't we claim them? Turn to one more. 1 Kings chapter number 8. First Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Not one word. Which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. 1 Kings 8, 56. Here we see three different times here. Not one thing hath failed. Not one thing hath failed. Not failed one word of all his good promise. Tonight as Christians, we, even though we fail, and we will fail, we can fail less. As we're abiding in the vine, John 15. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8, 37. We have a God tonight who is greater than our failures. Everyone here tonight, our hands up. We never set out to fail. By the way, if you have that attitude, that's a bad attitude. But I'm going to fail right here. I know this is, yeah, you know what? Probably will. Let's not have the attitude of that. If that's part of your problem, maybe that's what you needed to hear. With God, all things are possible. I'm not going to fail. God's going to help me in this area of my life. I have failed before. I'm not going to be a failure. I have failed before. But keeping my eyes and dependence on God, not on me, I can be victorious. Do we fail? Yes, we fail. But that is not in itself failure. We can live a victorious life by seeking to walk with God in the will of God. A just man falleth 7 times, but rises up again. And here's the last statement. Failure should not be final. Failure should not be final. I don't want the last thing about my life to be failure. Or a fail. Back up. Hey, again, no one here's, I'm not saying anything that, there's anything good about sin. There's nothing good about sin. Nothing, 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 nothing. But to stay down and not get back up and not forsake it and confess it and move on, that's 10 times worse. Because now the devil has you down and now you can't be that vessel that God saved you to be. Failure should never happen.